Good morning, good noon, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's your old Linda here, again, bringing you the new episode of All Pro Wears. Of course, as you can see from the title, it's not about magic food. It doesn't mean that I don't like child story and I don't like Mozart, but because of my schedule,I was certainly unable to be there for the magic food, but I'll be there next year. I very encourage you to go for the magic food because it is so iconic and still an excellent opera. Just like Handel's Moselle for the New York Philharmonic and the Nutcracker for the New York City Ballet,It is one of the must-watch as a New Yorker or as a tourist during the winter season with no doubt. But if you haven't booked a ticket yet, there are the last two performances today, but I think there are only 4 to 5 tickets left till now, which is 1:42 a.m. on December 30th. I suppose it will sell out,when this podcast is out. So, all the Magic Food fans, see you next year, and I'll make sure I'll be there. Alright, no more Magic Food and Mozart-related conversations. Let's go back to our topic. What a nice day, December 29th. 2 days until the new year, if I didn't make any calculation errors,Nothing bad about paying that $370 to sit at N109, which is the middle of the orchestra, and being an audience for Nabucco, or Nabucodonosor, without any abbreviation besides I am short-sighted. I mean, I do some sort of lack of foresight, but here, I mean that I can't see objects that clearly,And very unfortunately, I don't have glasses on with me, so I do have difficulties identifying about what's happening in the stage precisely. Another bad news and an awkward moment for me, when I was purchasing the ticket, the staff at the box office asked me multiple times if I want to purchase the ticket for Nabucodonosor.And I was like, oh, I don't know what are you talking about. I'm sorry, I don't speak Italiano. Io sono Chinese. By the way, that means I'm Chinese in English. I do speak a little bit of Italian, but just the basic self-introduction part. And soon, after I got my ticket, I realized, oh...He was talking about Nabucco, but just in its original name, Nabucodonosor. I'm sorry. When you constantly sleep less than 5 hours and use caffeine to maintain basic homeostasis or life function, that's what happened. Another life lesson, don't be like me. However, Nabucco is truly a hit,whether 2 centuries ago during its 1842 premiere or even just right now. We all love this story and the composition. It is truly a masterpiece that lives throughout times. Masterpieces don't wear out with time. They only get polished to perfection and become a diamond in the rough of history.That's my thoughts on Nabucco and all of the other classical opera pieces. Let's pull back to the history of Nabucodonosor. The death of his wife, Margalito, who is initially his student, and their 2 children, Virginia and Ischio. I'm sorry for my Italian audience. I know that my Italiano sounds weird with an...English and Asian accent, but whatever, combined with the opposition to his second opera, Un Giorno di Legno, the 2-act opera buffa or comic opera received. Nabucco was composed in a really painful period of reading. But all great work starts with an unexpected beginning. Reddy doesn't want to work on Nabucco, but he randomly saw the pages with the libretto for the nowadays famous aria, Va Passero, or the chorus of the Hebrew slaves. He was so attracted by that and instantly realized that Nabucco is the work for him. But because he was in such a pain, tortured too much by what he endures, but in such a love with the libretto, he gave up reading the libretto not only one time, not two times, but three times. According to Verdi himself, "I couldn't sleep. I got up and read the libretto not once, not twice, but three times. So that in the morning, you might say, I knew Celera's whole libretto from memory." I am sorry, it is Celera, not Celera in that English pronunciation. It is Temistoke Celera, the librettist for Nabucodonosor. I mean, when your life is a mess, that's how your career can add on to that hurt. But here comes a great aspect of a genius. Verdi forced himself to work, a note by a note, a measure by a measure, a phrase by a phrase, and eventually the whole opera. Well, I should learn that spirit and stop procrastinating. Verdi's painful work does pay off. From an Asian perspective, I would like to say that sometimes people do work the best under stress and pain. But I will encourage you to practice that either on yourself or for someone to work under it. So Nabucco did gain instant success. Let's use some number to prove that. Nabucco performed 67 times in its debut year of 1842. There are originally 8 performances scheduled, limited to the time, but because the opera became so popular that around 60 performances have been added by the end of the year. That's how famous and popular Nabucco went. The other reason why Nabucco was so famous is all because the aria that we talked about before, Va Passero. If something can even impress and touch the composer himself or herself or themselves, people will and must acknowledge the greatnesses of it. The great chorus is mind-blowing. I was literally immersed in it. A bravo for the mad chorus and Caligari, the composer. Beside the musical aspect, another reason is that people related the scene from Nabucco to what they were endorsing by the time. The sympathy Verdi demonstrated to the Risorgimento, or the unification of Italy movement, in his composition. His work contributed to the spirit of Italian. Va Pensiero is the emotional outlet for the artistico Italianos during the political chaos period. Let's come back to the story of Nabucco. The story is a little bit complex for any abbreviation, but to keep it simple, it is about how a king, Nabucco, is very intolerant of Israelites. But his father, Fenena, converts to Judaism. The king gets mad and truly hits by that. That's the moment of a failure as a father when your daughter betrays you. So the king went a little bit crazy and off, saying that he is the god, and everyone should worship him. Well, I mean, that's never a smart choice. So the real god punished him by thundering on him. His only daughter, Abigail, which is not really his biological daughter, but the daughter of enslaves, took his position, sentencing Fenana and all the Israelites to death. Nabucco can't accept that, so he starts to worship to the god of Hebrew. And very magically, that works. He saves all the Israelites and his lovely daughter, Fenana. And Nabucco became the servant of the god and king of kings. Such a happy ending, but bad for Abigail. R.I.P. Rest in peace. I found it very interesting where at the end everyone converts to Judaism, but somehow Verdi himself doesn't belong to any religion. He also composed the Requiem in his later, which was used for Catholic funeral mass. I think religion to him doesn't weigh that much. It just serves as a literature use. Back to the opera singers, it is the tenor, Xiu Chong Beck's mad debut opera. He did a fantastical job. I'm almost immersed in his tenor voice. Thicknesses and the breadth of his voice perfectly display the role of Ismail. The character seems just built for him in nature. What a great job. His voice is such a comfort. It is like your sweet home in a 40 degrees day. Another weird little metaphor. Please go support him. Except for Nabucco, he is also playing Caliph in Toronto this season. Another of Puccini's masterpiece that I can't wait to see. Even though Puccini didn't finish it himself before he died, but still, it is an impressive piece. Xiu Chong Beck will definitely be the next international renowned starring tenor. As I said, Nabucco was punished by the god. The thundering or the lightning went straight to him after the aria, Non so belle son Dio. I am no longer king, I am god. That was a little bit hilarious to me somehow, because at the moment you are saying that you are the god and immediately got punished. But whatever, it surprised me that the king was struck by the lightning and still had a strong and steady voice. That's probably one of the reasons why he's the king, I guess. But still, bravo for Gagnus. Talking about the lightning scene, if you haven't, I encourage you to take a look at the header image that choose for Nabucco. You can see the whole stage design, including the center throne. Do you think we can see the throne as the shape of the cross? Just an interesting thought that appears in my mind. Also, soon after the lightning, the stage, Nabucco and of the other people that's in stage start glowing a bright light. I guess that represents blood, but it's really cool. Talk about the stage design. The stage is a double-sided spinning, or you can say rotating, layered structure. One side depicts Jerusalem and the other side of Babylon. Very creative use of smart and light design. To be honest, the performance was great, excellent, But I'm just a little bit annoyed by the caliber of the audience. I heard phone alarms and text messages from everywhere. And all time. And in Act 3 and 4, there's even the sound of a little kid crying. Wow, what can I say? I think you should reconsider before bringing any child who's under the age of 12 into the Metropolitan Opera. Please, just think before you act. If you think your child will be scared by the lightning or can't sit there for 2.5 hours straight for an opera, just don't bring them here. Don't pay that extra money and bring problems for the other audience. Another fun thing that's in my mind is that we got to see fires a lot in Nabucco, and these are all real fires. So the thing I immediately thought about is the CO2 or carbon dioxide level in the theater. Okay, no more general chemistry and biology here. My favorite figure from Nabucco is actually Abigail. You can see all of her struggles. She was swimming between her identities as the daughter of the king and as the daughter of enslaved. The realization of, oh, I am not from the lawyer family, is a hit for not yet a fully independent and strong spirit of Abigail. So we can see of the wrong decisions she made, the depravity of her dignity. I don't think she loves Ismail. I forgot to include him in my conclusion of the plot, but he's the one who fell in love with Fenena. It is also the same reason and logic why Abigail crowded herself. Because the moment she realized she's the child of enslaved, she thought she'd lose everything. And now she just wants to prove to herself that there's actually things that belongs to her, whether it is love or power, whether by pity or force. She's a solid figure here. Is the amount of pain Monasteriska demonstrate when she was singing Abigail's solo aria, Agnio Deschiuso Un Giorno. Alright, I will never speak Italian in my next episode, I swear. But translated into English, I too once opened my heart to happiness. Verdi and Selena didn't leave Abigail a stereotypical villainous role, but build a solid figure that we can look through and discover more. There are still 7 more Nabucco's going on at the Met till January 26th. If you haven't, please just go and support the brilliant singers and the magnificent compositions and the stage design. Thank you so much for listening. Have a nice day. Happy New Year. And if there are any questions or you want to talk to me, please just email olindatown@gmail.com. Again, it is AULINDATANG@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and see you in my next episode. Have a great day and a great new year.